Today on The Journey.
Every single part of us needs to be transformed through Jesus, and that includes who we are at the level of our desires, at the level of our sense of male or femaleness.
Who are you? Are you a product of your feelings and inclinations, or a design that bears God's very image? And what do you do when those are in seeming conflict? In this half hour, Ron Moore welcomes special guest Ellen Dykus of Harvest USA. They'll look at a woman's sexual inclinations toward other women and the transformative power of Jesus Christ to reconcile her feelings with God's design. Before that, a quick word about our premium offer titled A Biblically Managed Life. It's a seven-step quest for a fulfilling life guided by God's Word, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest for part one of their discussion, Sanctifying Sexual Desire in Women, On the Journey.
Welcome to The Journey, and I'm here today with Ellen Dykus. Ellen is with Harvest USA Ministries. Ellen, it's great to have you on The Journey today.
Thanks, Ron. It's really wonderful to be here.
Talk about Harvest USA and some of the things that you're doing there. And as you're talking about that, just some of the things that you are seeing that, Ellen, maybe you didn't see a year ago or 2 years ago that are really coming up on the radar screen.
Sure. Well, a brief description of Harvest USA. We're in our 32nd year of ministry. Our mission and vision is we want to minister the gospel of grace to men, women, families impacted by sexual sin. And we want to equip the body of Christ, primarily through local churches, but also through Christian organizations, to do the same thing, to be able to minister to their own people who are bound up in sin of a sexual nature or who are dabbling or wrestling with sense of sexual identity. So in my role as women's ministry coordinator, I oversee all of that direct ministry to women who are wrestling with their own issues, wives who are in marriages impacted by sexual sin, and then with my colleagues in the men's ministry, we tag team to some degree in ministry to parents. And so, you know, your question about what are some changes that I've seen over the last year, and I don't think this would be a surprise probably to most people, that the most astounding changes really are coming in the realm of homosexuality. Increasingly, and this is what is probably one of the most concerning things for us as a ministry, is this growing, slow acceptance, even within the evangelical community, of the idea of someone being a follower of Jesus and proactively pursuing homosexual activity or homosexual relationships. And this begins to get into the whole sphere of gay identity. I think that's probably one of the biggest changes that is really sweeping across the country and is having a huge impact on the body of Christ in ways that we would say are very concerning and disheartening.
What do you think is behind the acceptance in Bible-believing churches of this identity and lifestyle?
That's a great question. It's a big question. My short answer to that would be there have been a few strong influences. The reality that we live in a broken and fallen world, in a world system that the kingdom of darkness is having influence, I think that's one reality that sometimes we can lose sight of, that there really is an enemy of God seeking to push his agenda in this world. So that's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is that in the culture around us, take a look back a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, to what was being presented on television, in sitcoms, in movies, on talk shows. It's astounding how the changes related to gay couples, even same-sex marriage, same-sex high schoolers, dating, these are becoming more and more a part of just what is normal mainstream entertainment. And I think that has had a slow creeping influence on the body of Christ. And the other thing that I would say, Ron, is that in some ways we are seeing a harvest come in from, I don't know if I would say centuries, but definitely decades where we have been really quiet, whether if it's embarrassment or feeling shame, of talking about issues related to sexuality, whether if that is talking about God's good design for sexuality, if it's talking about the struggle of sexual temptation and sexual sin. And so the way that all kind of filters down related to homosexuality is that that is an area that the body of Christ in some ways was way far at one end of condemning the sin, which the Bible is clearly opposed to homosexuality as it is to any sexual expression outside of God's design. But that is one of those areas where I think for a long time, and in some places it still is, where Christians upheld it as an abnormally perverse sin. And now we are kind of swinging into another direction, and I do believe culture has influenced this greatly, of saying, you know what, maybe we were wrong about this. Maybe it's not so bad because, hey, look at our neighbors. John and Bill, they are some of the nicest people around, and maybe they are. You know, how could God be against this? Or when somebody has a son, daughter, sibling, even a parent who is coming out in the sense of saying, hey, this is who I think I really am. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay woman. That really pulls on a person's heartstrings when you have a family member or a close friend who also is a professing Christian and saying, you know what, I've come to peace with this. I think I can make both my faith and taking on a gay identity work. So that's a long answer, but I think it's a complex reality of what has led to such acceptance. But I think those are some of the spheres that have had the most pull.
You mentioned brokenness, and it's a great word, and it's certainly the truth, isn't it? We are all broken. And it's become a buzzword in many evangelical circles, and we can talk about our brokenness, and we can talk about the fact that Jesus meets us in our brokenness, but Jesus meets you where you are, but he doesn't leave you there. And so I think there is an underlying understanding that I'm broken, I'm always going to be broken, we're all broken, it's all right to be broken, and Jesus came to transform us, a spiritual rebirth. That's the part some people miss.
Yeah, well, you're reminding me of something that my colleague Dave White says, which I think really connects to what you're saying. And this very much connects with the acceptance of a sense of gay identity and definitely within the church. And that is when somebody would say, but this is always the way that I've felt. This is who I feel that I am naturally made by God. And what you've just described, Ron, is, yeah, it's exactly how we would understand the Bible says that who we are naturally is a sinner. Who we are naturally is why Christ died, and that every single part of us needs to be redeemed through Jesus and transformed through Jesus. And that includes who we are at the level of our desires, at the level of our thinking, at the level of our sense of male or femaleness.
Yeah, that's well said. Let's talk about the individual. You know, sometimes we can talk about these things in categories, but behind every statistic or behind every situation is a person going through some challenges. So help us get in the mind of a young girl who is beginning to struggle with, as you say, romantic inclinations. And she sees her mom and dad, and she realizes that there's some feelings here that are different. And she's struggling with you. So help us get in the mind of that young woman struggling with sexual identity.
Well, I want to be sure to first say that, of course, there's going to be no two young women alike in that struggle, in that temptation or situation. But I will share maybe some common themes or broad strokes of what it's like. And you've described a young university student from the Philadelphia region that I've had the opportunity to meet up with a handful of times for some of that targeted discipleship. And I'll call her Jenny, and it's not her real name, but she is a sweet young woman, a sincere follower of Christ. She was actually engaged to a guy, and probably within the year of when their wedding was supposed to be planned, she finally realized that she just needed to call it off because from a time as a young girl, having desires towards girls, and she knew that as much as this guy was a good man, a godly Christian man, she knew that there were things that she needed to deal with. And so what's been a part of her story? Well, she is a sincere follower of Christ. She's only about 3 or 4 years old in the Lord, but grew up in what sounds like a pretty stable home, but a home in which she did not identify with her mother in many ways in light of gender. She just didn't feel like she was the same type of person that her mom was. And her mom is a woman successful in her career. Jenny would describe her as both tender and nurturing, but also a very strong, confident woman. But there were things there that Jenny just wrestled with in connecting, like, where do I fit in? I don't really feel like I'm fitting in with mom. She also didn't really have a sense of connection to her dad. Now, that's something there where a lot of younger women might say, you know, I just always wanted to be with dad and my brothers. I didn't want to be with mom doing this or that. I wanted to be with my dad, and that was a part of perhaps that young woman beginning to identify more with her sense of maleness rather than femaleness. In Jenny's situation, it was just kind of a combination of confusion, and that's actually been a topic that we've talked about several times, is what does it mean to be female as distinct from male? What does it mean for her to be a godly woman? And then there are these long-time desires, attractions, longings, a lot of different words we might use, that she's had towards girls. She would not describe them as having been sexual necessarily, but a strong emotional desire to want to be with women, to connect with women. And when you have that in such a contrast to either no or very little desire to connect, be with, or be pursued by boys or men, you can see how that young woman's sense of identity as a woman starts becoming very confused. Add on to that, if you have the world around you saying, well, Jenny, of course you don't want to be with boys. You must be gay. And it gets that young person wondering because the voices are so strong trying to persuade and convince. Add on to that, what happens if there is another girl? If you're 13, 14, and you have a 16, 17-year-old girl kind of moving towards you in a way, that's going to lead to a lot of confusion of wondering, why is it that these girls are being drawn to me in this way? Like, am I giving off some kind of a vibe? So a summary of what I've just tried to say is that a lot of that confusion, I think, is centered around, who am I as a girl? How do I make sense of either these desires towards girls and or lack of desire towards guys? And with all that, keeping it under wraps, as Jenny did for probably the first 18, 20 years of her life, never daring to bring up these good questions because of feeling so much shame related to them. So she made her own interpretations.
We're listening to The Journey. My name's Ron Moore, and I'm here with Ellen Dykus. Ellen is with Harvest USA, a ministry to those dealing with sexual identity. And Ellen has been describing a university student named Jenny, not a real name, obviously, who is struggling with some same-sex desires. She's a believer. She desires to follow Christ. She has these desires to be connected with other women. Ellen, talk about what she's dealing with regarding her relationship with Christ. I preface that with a story of a person I've met. She, from early on, struggled with her sexual identity, and she said, I would go to bed every night praying that when I woke up, I'd be a boy. And that obviously impacted her relationship with the Lord and who God was and His sovereignty. Why'd you create me like this? So if you would, talk a little bit more about this university student and how she's dealing with her sexual identity and her relationship with Christ as she desires to follow Him but has these other desires as well.
Yeah, that is a wonderful question in light of Jenny's journey, because hers has been one of the more beautiful testimonies of Christ entering into a relationship with her and beginning a beautiful work of transformation from the inside out. She's only about 3 or 4 years old in her relationship with the Lord. I believe she became a Christian as a college student, I think through a campus ministry. And so as she began to grow, not only in knowing the Lord, but what it means to live out as a Christian, she also began to grow in understanding that God has purposes and pathways that he blesses and other things that are outside of the bounds. And so she had had for many, many years these desires and what she would call even attractions towards girls. She'd never really acted on it in the sense of being in any kind of a dating relationship with a girl, or she's not crossed any physical boundaries with girls. It's been a lot of her emotional and mental life. But it's her relationship with Christ that propelled her to even come here to Harvest USA. And this is a college girl that was willing to drive over an hour to come here and really to have discipleship sessions with me, because there was a sense of turmoil in here of knowing, I know that the Lord has something else for me rather than to be controlled by these desires. And even the fact that she had the guts, in a sense, mm-hmm. to end that engagement for the sake of letting the Lord do what he needed to do in her heart, I mean, that spoke so much to me. Mm-hmm. So she is continuing to journey on in growth, but also grappling with how does God's word speak to these things. And that's where I was really blessed. I love it. I love journeying with young women in through God's word, just applying it to these areas of struggle.
So Ellen, someone listening heard your story regarding Jenny, a university student following Christ, having these same-sex attractions, not acting on them, desiring to follow Christ, desiring that transformation. And they're saying, you know, that's great for Jenny, but I was made this way. And, you know, I'm not saying that in some rebellious way. I have these attractions. I was made this way. And not to act out on them would be going against who I am, going against my person, unhealthy for me, maybe even damaging to my emotions. How would you respond to that person?
Well, I'm thankful to say that I've had many, many conversations like that, not only with younger people, but with older women, older women who were single or who were married and perhaps are sensing, you know what, I finally need to be true to myself, be true to what I've wondered and felt about for so long. So what I would say to anybody is, first, I'm going to want to just get to know their story and get to know, how did you come to these conclusions about yourself? Like, tell me about that. You're 18, you're 20, you're 21. I mean, I'm addressing that, Ron, in light of what you said, a younger person. When was it and how was it that you came to even understand that you had these attractions towards other girls? And especially if I've got a younger person saying, well, I'm gay, God made me this way, then I'm going to want to help them unpack the history of how they came to accept that label for themselves. So that's a little bit of the behind the scenes that's going on in my heart of what I want to know about this person. That I would also want to offer your listeners is that getting to know that specific person's experiences and story is so important, because that allows us then to specifically offer the truths and promises of God's word. Mm-hmm. What would I specifically say? Well, if somebody said, Ellen, just give me your best shot. I am confident that I was born this way. I'm gay. This is my orientation. What would you say? Here's how I'd approach it, Ron. I would say, well, you know what? If we want to understand what Scripture says to this, Scripture never says that our emotional, romantic, or sexual desires or attractions or orientation, whatever word you want to put in there, the Bible never says that that's what determines our identity. The Bible says that our identity is defined by God in a few different ways, that we are either in Christ or not in Christ. We are loved sons and daughters of God. We are male or female image bearers. Oh, Ellen, you're just being all theological and biblical. I'm gay. I've always felt this way. And I would push back with that person, Ron, and say, okay, what's your filter? What are you using to make those interpretations and conclusions about yourself? Because the person who says, I am gay, they are using that word at the level of identity. And gay means what? Attracted to your same gender. And Scripture never does that. It actually says that any of our desires is to be submitted under Christ. So what does that mean for the young person that might say, well, if that's true, then I don't want anything to do with God? And I remember a college student who said this to me several years ago, a pastor's daughter, a super sweet young woman, and she just said, well, if what you're saying is true, then it really causes me to struggle because it feels like either I have to choose between God or having what my heart really desires, and that's a romantic relationship. Because in her mind, she could only see herself ever having that with a woman. Hmm. And with a young woman, or it could be a young man, that just can't imagine feeling a different way, I'll enter into that with, that is a form of suffering. That is a form of a trial that is a part of living in a fallen world system. But then I'll also say, sister, is it possible that the God of heaven, if he wants you to enter into a marriage relationship, a oneness of life relationship, is it possible that he could stir your heart to desire to be attracted to that one to whom he would call you to be married? And I think that really changes the conversation. So rather than talking about sexual orientation, girl orientation, what about talking about, I'm going to have my heart oriented towards Christ, and I'm going to trust that if he's going to have me to move into that type of relationship, that he will stir my heart to be attracted to that one person. And if not, then God will give me the grace, like for myself as an unmarried woman, the grace to walk faithfully as an unmarried person.
I so agree. Our identity has to be in Jesus Christ. And here we use the acronym SAFE with two S's. In Christ, you are significant. He died on the cross for your sins to give you complete spiritual transformation, security. You're secure in him, and he will never let you go. You're accepted in him. He has adopted you as his child. You're forgiven. He takes our sins, Scripture says, and separates them as far as the east is from the west. And then you're empowered, the E, by the Holy Spirit, as you say, to live the life that God calls us to live. That's our spiritual identity, who we are in Christ. And again, I love what you say regarding the focus of that identity in Christ.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. What does a biblically managed life look like, and how can you experience it? Ron Moore takes you on that spiritual journey in his booklet titled, A Biblically Managed Life. In its pages, you'll discover an eternal perspective that informs 7 days of life-altering challenges from Scripture. Things like how you can invest God's gifts of time and resources, living with a spiritual mind, and the influence you can have in this world. A Biblically Managed Life is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
So Ellen, I want you to talk to a mom and a dad. They just got an email from their young adult. And the email says, Mom and Dad, after struggling with this issue for a long time, I've come to the conclusion that I'm gay.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. Also, please remember to order your copy of A Biblically Managed Life. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. We also invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.